So we are going to listen to it. But we just think it's important once a year to just kind of come together and talk about, you know, what is the vision of the church? Where have we been over the past year, and where are we going? Every year, the Lord gives kind of Randy and I independently, we come together. It's like, yes, that's what the Lord told me, kind of what like our theme is for the upcoming year and where our focus is. And so we just want to kind of make sure we're all on the same page. I want to start off with, you know, Randy and I, when we started getting a revelation of the kingdom, everything changed for us as far as really understanding the Word of God. When you realize that we're talking about a kingdom, right? And so that's one of the reasons why our church is named Kingdom Life Church, because that was intentional, because we really love the understanding of the kingdom. We need to remember that Jesus didn't come to give us a religion. He took us from darkness into the kingdom of light, okay? And because we're in the kingdom of light, everything changes. So we don't do religion. We actually live in a different reality than the rest of the world, right? Because the world is in darkness. We are in light. And I mean, we're here in this world to bring the light, but we have to get out of the thinking of religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality, right? It's a kingdom. And we're in, and our life is inviting people into that kingdom. Okay? And so that's why we named the church, we felt led to name the church Kingdom Life Church. So I think it's interesting, like we have these three signs here as you come walking into the church. One says encounter, one says know, and one says live. And it's amazing, like Latasha's like, I've been coming to this church for how long? I never realized that those were part of our church. Like, and other people have said the same thing to me, so it's not just you, Latasha, I'm picking on. But you know, what's our church's mission and vision? So really our mission is that people would encounter Christ, know Christ, and live Christ, right? And that's for everybody, right? Everybody would come to a place that they would encounter him, right? And it's not, again, I've talked about this before, it's not the encounter you had 20 years ago. Hopefully it's the encounter you had this morning when you got up and you woke your eyes and you realized he was waiting there for you to open your eyes and you took your first breath knowing that he's the one who gave you breath, right? And that we can live that way, encountering him in every moment of our day, right? And we don't live for the experience, but if we know that it's truth, we'll begin to have the experience, right? So we're always pursuing him. And then from that place, we would come to really come to know him through his word, know him through our time with him, and he would become a reality to us. And when those two things happen, we'd know his love for us, right? That would become a reality. And the byproduct of that is that we will live Christ, right? It's a byproduct of the first two. But our lives, we're called to be a light in the world. And so that's why, you know, when you see Kingdom Life Church, that's you see, encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. Because that's what our mission is to bring people, when we're teaching, when we're worshiping, all of it is geared around people either encountering him, knowing him, or living him. It all comes down to those, one of those three buckets, so to speak. But then, like, what's our vision is first and foremost, excuse me, that we'd be present-centered. You know, we don't come to church to hear Melissa or Jeremy preach, right? We don't come to do a song service. We come because Jesus has called us together as a family, and we want to come to know him. And let me tell you, if the presence of God is here, we should all just go home. It isn't here. We should all just go home, right? Because then it's just us here, and that's not good, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know we all carry the presence, but that's what we come together for. We come for him, right? And he's, you know, I tell people, he's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher of this church. Right? When we leave after a church service, there's only one person I care about whether or not we pleased, and that's him. Right? And I just, if people come to the church, I mean, either you're called here or you're not, we're not here for numbers. We're not here for anything else but him. And he's putting together a body, and I believe the people who are supposed to be here will be here. And if something happens and somebody, you know, if we worship in a way that's too radical and someone gets offended, well, then either that's between you and Jesus, and maybe this isn't your church. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to get to the place where people start changing their church to get numbers. Like, oh my gosh, like we're going to have to stand before Jesus one day, and that is not the testimony I want, right? So it's got to be him. We get together because of him, right? And then to worship in spirit and truth. Like I don't want to do a song service. Like Randy and I, we don't want a song service. We want to come like we did today, expecting his presence and to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, now we use videos. At some point, I believe the Lord will bring us, you know, live worship. But the whole purpose is we enter in, regardless of the vehicle that we're using, that we make it all about him. Right? Right? We come here expecting the miraculous. Because I'm not pursuing the miraculous, but guess what? If God's here, the miraculous should be happening. Because he's a miracle God, right? That's what the Israelites see over and over and over again. And when they forgot to testify about the miraculous, guess what? It became a religion, right? So the miraculous should be happening. And again, we don't pursue that, we pursue him, right? We pursue him. A kingdom culture, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that on the next slide. But that if we're the children of the kingdom and we're in the kingdom of God, that we should have the culture of heaven in our church, right? When we come together, it should be the culture of heaven. And I'll talk about that more on this next slide. We are the body of Christ, and I always say that to people, you know, that you need to we need to understand that we all play a part in the body. Like, there's not higher, lower, there's just different roles. And I tell people all the time, like, if this is your church, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty, but if you're the right hand and you decide not to come to church just on Sunday, we're missing the right hand. And I only say that because I want people to know they're significant, that when you're not here, we're missing you. Because you play a part, you bring an anointing, you bring an understanding, you bring a revelation, you bring a song, you bring your voice, whatever it is you bring, and you're significant in this place. It's not just the pastor who shows up to give the message, you know, or the person's up in the back. Every person is significant, and what you carry is important. That we are a family of God, and it's really important to us that we build relationships horizontally because we're doing life together. And so we need to be able to come together and join together as a family and help take care of each other, build each other up, edify each other, help each other grow up into him in all things. And so we're a family. That the gifts of the Spirit should be moving in this church. And that's why, again, why we, you know, people say to me, you know, Nancy's texted me, Melissa, I've got this, I want to share our church. Great, run it by me, and she comes up. Giselle has something. Like, we all play a part in this. God doesn't just speak through one mouthpiece. Like, he speaks to all of you, you know, and you have something to bring. And so we want to see the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church. That's why we pause after worship. So there's time for people, if they do have a word from God or a word of knowledge or whatever, that something can come forth. The fruit of the Spirit, if we're pursuing him, the fruit of the Spirit should begin to be evident in our lives. Not that I'm making myself patient, but I know how much God loves me. And I've seen how patient he is with me, and so patience is a fruit of my life because I've experienced patience from him. The fivefold ministry. I mean, God should bring at some point an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers into this church, right? And it's us, we don't decide that, we discover that, right? We discover it as we raise people up and watch their giftings and callings, but it's raising people up into what they are called to do, what they're supposed to do. And for some people, that might be here in this church for as long as this church goes on, but for other people, it might be raising them up and then letting them go, right? I've said, you know, we're not interested in Kingdom Life Church being an octopus. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want a bunch of Kingdom Life churches all around the world. Like, that's, like, this is enough, right? But if someone comes to this church and they have a calling to be a pastor, well, what an honor and privilege to raise them up, help them see how to do it and everything, and then when it's their calling, you send them out to wherever they're called to, and you help them get started, but then it's their calling. Why? Because God called them. And gave them a vision for a church, just like he gave us a vision for a church. And we don't want to become, like I said, I don't want to be an octopus. Like, that's just not, like, one church is enough. That's enough. But let's launch lots of babies. Okay? children's church, you know, that we want a strong children's church. Everything that goes on here should be going on in children's church, because there's no junior Holy Spirits. That's Pastor Jeremy, quoting Pastor Jeremy. There's no junior Holy Spirits, right? They have the Holy Ghost just like us, and we should see the gifts operating. We should see the fivefold ministry. Maybe there's some back there that are a prophet or an evangelist. You know, we start seeing their callings, and we raise them up in that. We would like a building at some point. You know, the Lord will, we believe he's going to bring us a building. And when really our heart is for eventually to have a discipleship center, a church with a discipleship center where people can be raised up and brought up and sent out to where they would like to go. So that's the thing that we want. Amen. You know, there's revival going on right now in the world. Big revival. Big revival. And we're just one part of that. But we want to see that. I believe it's happening already, but we want to see it happen even more. Like, have a greater impact, have greater experiences of the Lord here, have him operating more powerfully, all of us. And the Lord told me, Melissa, if we as a church go deeper, he'll make it wider. So it's not about us trying to get more numbers. It's about us just going more and more and more into Christ, and each one of us pursuing him and knowing him more, and then he takes care of the rest. So that's our goal. You know, people, I remember when we started the church in 2015 in our home, we started in June of 2015, and at the end of the year, you know, 2016 came, and one of the people were like, okay, so what's our goal for 2016, you know? And when you're a pastor, you get all these emails like, okay, your goal should be like 500 people next year. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that is not my goal. Like my goal is, and so I just was like, God, what's our goal? And I thought, okay, this is it. Like, okay, so you started the year, you came to Kingdom Life Church, whatever. If at the end of the year, you know Jesus deeper, better, you have a greater relationship with him than you did at the beginning of the year, and Kingdom Life Church had some part in that process, we have reached our goal. That's it, right? I mean, what? There's nothing more than that. That's our goal. And so our goal is going to be the same thing every year. That's it. Because it's all about every single one of us deepening our relationship with him and then living that out, whatever way that is, for whatever way he's called you. You know, the Holy Ghost is wrapped up in your skin. So whatever that looks like for you, it's you living that out. So we're a part of that. And it's just, I want, if you're more in love with Jesus at the end of the year than you did beginning of the year, and we had some little piece of that, praise God, we've achieved our goal. That's it. So what is the values and culture of our church? I'm going to go down the left side first and then move over to the right. But this is what's really important to us. We had a leadership retreat and we really sat down. We went through some training and just what was the culture that we feel like we have established in the church we want to intentionally maintain. And that is that we want to be, of course, Christ and presence-centered in everything that we do. But that we be a church of that our culture is one of honor, integrity, love, authenticity. It's really, really important to us that everybody feel when they can come to this church that they can be authentic. Like if you're struggling with something, that you can share that. That this is a safe place for people to be authentic with what's going on with their life, and we can point you to the Word and help you come through that, right? But that it's a safe place. That we all live intentionally. You know, that we can be transparent, that it's a safe place, that we all walk in humility, that we all remain teachable. You know, that even as leadership, like if people come to me and they'll have a question or a concern or an issue, like talk with us, because we have blind spots too, you know? And sometimes you think to yourself, oh my gosh, God, you've given me responsibility for these people, you know, because I don't ever want to misrepresent Christ to anybody. Like, okay, if I do something, that's one thing, but in a role of representing him, the weight of that is, we take that very, very seriously. You know what I'm saying? And so so we all need to remain teachable. And I learn from, that's what I love small groups, because I learn from all of you. I learn from all of you. And empowerment, that people, you know, live lives, we empower people to live their life in Christ, that we protect and value relationships. And what that means is, you know, when you do life together, there's plenty of opportunity to be offended, right? But we don't run away from that. We run towards each other and work it out. We learn the skills to say, hey, this was an issue, and we as people work through it together, not, okay, I'm offended, I'm going to tuck my tail and leave. That you'll just go from church to church to church to church. Like, if this is where you're called, then work through the issue here, and we'll get to the other side of it. Most cases, it's misunderstanding. In most cases, that's all it is. And when two people can just sit down and talk, you can work it out. We want an open dialogue between people, being responsive, not reactive, that we have servant hearts, that we operate in excellence, and that we're community-minded. I so much feel like I just want to make sure we're not just here, we're outside the four walls, right? We need to be outside the four walls. So those are the values and culture that, and I know there's people who have these like in really neat paragraphs and everything, but we just like throw it on the wall and it sticks. So anyway, any questions about any of that? If you have questions, feel free to ask, stop me and ask. So, right, so that we're not, you know, when something happens, we're not just always reacting to things, but that we're responding intentionally, you know, from, when you take that moment before you react to something, and you take a moment and you choose how you're going to respond instead of just reacting to things, right? Being sober-minded, Pastor Randy said, sober-minded. So that would be, so being intentional about how we respond. And a lot of times it's just taking that breath before you say anything, you know? So there's a couple things that I'm required to go over every year from just for our insurance policy. So here's just so you know that, did my clicker... Can you move to the next slide, please? Okay, could you just move it, please, to the next slide? Okay, so it's just, I just need to let you know that, first of all, our church does have a sexual harassment policy in place. If anyone ever felt like they were not handled in a proper way between anyone in the church or leadership, that you come to a leader, and we have a protocol in place to investigate that and ensure that that both the person who is potential victim and the person who is potentially accused are handled properly, right? And what we're always looking for is restoration, right? Because we want to bring restoration for both people. So you just need to know that there is a policy. We do, as a church, have a policy in place. The other thing is that child safety is very important to us. We have a very good guidelines for our Kingdom Kids. Any person who serves in the church must go through child safety training, even if you don't serve in children's church, because if someone were to come into this church with the wrong motives, right, we want our volunteers to be aware of how to pick that up. And because out in the main congregation, not just back there. So as a church, just so you know, some of our policies are, you are not allowed to give a gift to a child. If you want, you must give a gift to the parent if you want to give a child, but you cannot give a gift to the child unless we have like a church-sponsored event where we're giving gifts, but individually, because people with wrong intentions use that to groom children. So there's no gift giving to children. If you want to give a gift to a child, you must give it to the parent. The second thing is that you need to be careful about showing affection to children, right? You don't take somebody else's baby and kiss them, right? I mean, family members can do that, but we don't do that. You know, you need to be appropriately boundaried with children as far as, you know, you don't have them sitting on your laps. You don't just pick up somebody's child, right? Unless a parent like gives you that permission, but you need to, we want to be very honoring of children and protect our children, okay? So can we go to the next slide? Okay, so now I'm just going to, any questions on that before I move on? Okay. So we're very, 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 very guarded about our children. We'll make sure they're safe. So I just want to go over 2019. In the beginning of last year, the Lord spoke to both Randy and I and told us that that the year was going to be about, 2019 was going to be about family. At the end of 2018, he told us that. And so, and it's so neat because he'll tell us that and then all of a sudden he'll like show us what books to use and what studies to do. And it's like, oh, wow, that lines up with that. Go figure. He's just so smart. And it was also about the secret place, about intimacy. I think that will always be the theme every year. That's always going to be a piece. But again, like, in addition to that was family. So I just wanted to kind of go through, when we look at our goals and objectives and things, our mission and vision, how it lines up. So 2019, I just did a smattering of messages, some of the messages that we talked about. I did a teaching on faith, how to hear God, the blood of Jesus. Pastor Jeremy did teaching on righteousness. He did a great teaching, too, on conscience before we did water baptisms. Really wonderful teaching. I taught on Holy Spirit freedom in the church service, how we just really need to be able to yield to Him. Pastor Jeremy did teaching on Good Father. I did one on vulnerability, kind of removing our masks and intimacy. I did a series on Jesus. Jeremy did one on living on purpose. And that's just a smattering. But those are all, and these are, like, each, him and I both just seek the Lord. Like, what, Lord, where are we going? What do you want to teach? And then he just shows us, and that's what we teach. So it's not, people are like, well, I always do this kind of series every year, and this series, it's like, that's not how we do things. It's always just by what he leads us to. We had guest speakers. We brought in Greg Moore, who's in the middle, from Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries. We had Eric Gilmore, yay! And Bryant Borges here. And really, what a beautiful deposit he made in our church, you know, just coming here and teaching about the intimacy with God. And I really felt like there was a shift in our church as people really pursued the secret place. If you've never listened to Eric Gilmore, you know, you need to listen to him. He's just awesome. We had Arthur Menchez up here in the right-hand corner, who has a great revelation of grace. And then we had Daniel Kalenda here. This is Daniel, the evangelist Daniel Kalenda. This is his father, and he came to our church and did a great teaching here. So we had those teachers here this year. And the reason I'm doing this is we're just a little church, kind of, and you just think everything that God did last year, it's really amazing. We did our Kingdom Life groups, and again, the theme was family, and look at the books the Lord had us do. He had Keep Your Love On, which is all about relationships, how to have godly relationships, an excellent book. And then we did The Supernatural Ways of Royalty, because we're a royal family, right? And it's thinking kingdom mindset. And one of the big reasons we do the small groups for lots of reasons, but you know, people like discipleship. We have a real heart for discipleship, Brandy and I. But discipleship can't really happen in church. It happens in small groups, because that's where you can ask questions. The other thing is we love having small groups because it gives everybody an opportunity to share. And that's when you get to see all the treasures and revelation that is in each person in the group, right? It's not about sitting and listening to us. It's like, what did the Lord say to you this morning? What did the Lord show you? What did the Lord show you? So in the small groups, this is where people can really share their deepening relationship with the Lord and how he's impacting him. And then it builds relationships with each other. Like, it's really important that we want to be a church where we're building relationships with each other. When I hear that you guys have gotten together outside of church, like, you're maintaining relationships with each other outside of church, that so blesses us, because that's what it's about. You're calling each other. Oh, I have a prayer request. You're not calling the pastor. You're calling somebody else in the church that you know is strong in prayer, and you two of you are praying. Like, that's what it's supposed to be like. Right? That everybody is operating in their gifts and their strengths. So that's another reason why we love small groups. The Men of Honor, they did the books, The School of His Presence, to get ready for Eric Gilmore, The Prosperous Soul by Greg Moore, and the women did Victorious Emotions, and it was so good, we got the men to start doing it. So they're working through that book now. The activities, they did Panning for Gold, they did scripture plaques, where they kind of burn scriptures onto a plaque, and then we had the men's retreat, which was awesome, and they had 11 men attend. Again, one of the reasons we do that is we're a family, and this is how we build relationships with each other. We grow in the Word, and then we get to know each other and do life together. And that's really important to us. And then the Women of His Presence, woohoo! We did the School of His Presence by Eric Gilmore as well. We did the book Victorious Emotions by Wendy Backlin. We went to the art museum, saw the movie Unplanned together, and then we did the retreat, which was wonderful. And we had 20 women attend the retreat. And the way we do the retreat, and the men are going to start doing it this way, and again, this is all intentional, is that you know, when we find out all the women that are attending the retreat, then I break them into small groups, okay? And then the Lord gives me the theme for the retreat, and then I give that to each of the leaders of the small groups, and then they work within their small groups to kind of express that theme in their way. And so the whole, and then they come to the retreat. So at the retreat, like, I open the retreat in the beginning, I close the retreat at the end, but everything in between is the women ministering. That's awesome to me, because first of all, you're building relationships together, you're working in small groups together, but you get to see, and I get to see, all the giftings and callings and revelation that you all have in your hearts, right? And so everyone gets to work together. Some of the small groups that were created for the last women's retreat, they still meet. Like, they still get together once a month because they built relationships. Like, that's, to me, that's really important, okay? So it's, I so want everybody, we so want everybody to see the giftings and callings, the revelation, what you have inside of you, and what in that you each see what's inside of each other. Like, that is so important. It is so important because each one of you is a treasure trove of the Lord because of your relationship with Him. So so we did that. We do quarterly fellowship meals. Again, why is that? To build relationships. You always think, wow, I'd love it if we could all go out to dinner. Well, you know what? We all have busy schedules, but I know where you're all going to be at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, right? So 10 o'clock Sunday morning, four times a year, we come together, and three of those times we have it here. We set up tables, we have a special event, you know, a special theme or whatever, and we have worship, and then we just share a meal together and have fun. Now, this year it was so great because we went out to Spencer and Morgan's house in September. Woohoo! They have a house with a huge deck and a huge yard. And we went out there and just fellowshiped together. And just spent the day together, just playing games, having fun. We actually did water baptisms too. And it was just a great time of fellowship. So once a year we have a church picnic. And for as long as Spencer and Morgan, we have to keep Spencer and Morgan happy. So they'll still continue to have us at their house because it was great. It was just wonderful to get together. So we do that once a quarter. Which is always fun. You know, part of being a family is somebody passes, right? And Henry passed this year. And so we came together, but what I'm so proud of us as we came together so strongly as a church. We were praying for him. We did a worship together for him. We slathered him with oil till he slid off the bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, we prayed for Henry, right? And people, you know, bought Grubhub cards for Dina to help her so she didn't have to buy meals. And we just rallied around and supported that family. That's what healthy family does. And so we did that, you know, and then when he passed, you know, Randy and I were, after he passed, we were the first ones to see him afterwards. And man, that man was happy. There was so much peace on him, you know. And so we don't understand why we prayed and he went, but I just know where he is and he's happy. And we had the celebration of life service here for him. But that's part of doing life together, you know, is that we have those events happen. You remember this? So, as a church, this year, this is Miss Alicia. She hasn't been here the past couple of weeks, but we blessed that woman with a car. She was complaining about her car, and it wasn't working real well, and so we blessed her with a car and then helped her out financially, but then she played a trick on us. And then she's like, yeah, she says, so I want to give my car to Teresa. And we're like, okay, we still got the car. So we helped Teresa out with the car. So car, a better working car. Teresa got a better working car. We also, we raised money to help Dina, right, for with her funeral expenses and everything. And then a lot of you don't know, but we also helped out Willie with his car, right? So look at all that. And of course, Mr. Tuffy back there, he's the man. So, But you know, this is what family does, and this was so cute. Can you see the surprise on her face? She's like, and we had the car out there with a great big bow on it, you know. So that's what families do, right? They bless. We bless and we take care of each other when we see a brother or sister in need. So that's important. And then we also, because we're in this school, we know the Lord put us here on purpose, so we make sure we bless this school. We do a clothing drive for the children here once a quarter. We had a Lifetime Fitness in Raleigh got a, how many bicycles did we give away? 26 bicycles, 30 bicycles that they got for us, and we blessed the families of the school at Christmas time so they could give bicycles to their children for Christmas. We quarterly bring treats to the faculty and staff once a quarter, just saying, you know, from Kingdom Life Church, and then we volunteered at their spring festival. So we just want to keep a great relationship with the school, and because they've been a huge blessing to us. We went Christmas caroling. Look at us. Aren't we cute? So we went Christmas caroling at some senior living facilities, and that's always just fun and a blessing. One thing I'm really excited about is what happened in Kingdom Kids this year. First of all, we got kids. That was a real blessing. But we implemented new curriculum. Pastor Jeremy and Beth, you know, did a lot of research, and we found a True Fire curriculum, which is excellent curriculum. I know the parents are really happy because they're going home. Like when they go home, they have like what was taught in the children's church, how you can reinforce it at home, what kinds of activities. So we started that this year, and then also we've switched things a little bit. Like Pastor Jeremy oversees Kingdom Kids. And then, of course, Beth helps him, but we added Amy and Emily to the mix as leaders. And this way, the leaders are only back there once a month, because we really don't want, if you have your leaders back there all the time, it becomes two separate churches. You know what I'm saying? And so it's important to us that the leader's back there 1 week, but then the other 3 weeks they're here. And so we rotate them through back there so that there stays a good stream and connection between the main church and the children's church. So we do that. we started, any questions on that? We started worship and release nights. We just wanted freedom to just worship and not have any other agenda. So we started doing those, which has been really great. And I think as a result of that, we've seen more freedom in our Sunday services as well. And then we did our second annual leadership retreat. Pastor Randy and I, Jeremy, Beth, and Amy went away we left on a Sunday, came back on a Wednesday, and we just spent those days away together. And you know, we had good curriculum that we went through. We worshiped together. We'd go through some good curriculum. We just talk about the church. What direction are we going in? How do we want to lay things out for the next year? We build relationships with each other, right? And then we usually play some kind of silly game at night. Beth takes care of the silly games. She's in charge of that. But it's a great time for us to really just be away from all distractions and really talk and seek the Lord about where are we going, where do we want, you know, what are our values, what's important, what are the Lord's priorities. This year we had Amy come on board and she whipped us into shape. So we have church management software now, Elvanto. If you've come to the church, you have an account in Elvanto. You can use a user ID and password. You can go in there. There's all kinds of things you can, depending upon what level you're at. Meaning, like if you're a regular attender of the church, like you can go in there and see like your giving. If you become a member, then you can see like our member directory. Every person is hidden from the member directory unless you put yourself, you make yourself visible. But it's also how we manage our volunteers, sign people up for things, and they get notified you're signed up. You know, you can accept or decline. And so it's really our give all. And so you can go in there and see your giving. Like Amy will go in there Monday morning and put all the giving in, or even night, and you can go ahead and see your giving online. And then of course we have a church app. If you don't have the church app, you need to get it. Because everything is in the church app. Our schedule, what reading you need to do for our different studies, all of that is available in the church app. So the sermons are in the church app too. many of you might know, but we had a church in Wilson that we had helped start with Pastor Ernestine. We always knew that it would eventually become its own church. And so this past year, and I think it was in the fall, they became their own church. So that's Kingdom Place Ministries in Wilson. Again, we don't want to have, we just want one church that we focus on. And so she's running that church. She's going in her direction. She's taken off, and it's been really great. So we bless them. The other thing is Randy and I had started a nonprofit working with the homeless. And through a variety of different leadings the Lord gave us, we actually closed that down, and we brought outreach under the church, and our focus is much more evangelistic, because we were doing a lot to help the homeless and poor, but really weren't seeing a lot of fruit. And the Lord just said to us we needed to focus where there was fruit, and the fruit was in the church. So we also closed that down. And what we did is with the assets, I'll talk about this a little bit, the money and assets from that ministry were transferred over to the church. So now I'm just going to talk about any questions on anything I've covered so far this year? Okay, that's 2019. So another exciting thing is we added two people to our board of directors in 2019. So I'm the president, secretary, and senior pastor. Randy's vice president, senior pastor. Jeremy's treasurer pastor, Doug Woods. We also added May Hickman and Peggy Mattingly to our board of directors. Yay! So we were really blessed. We had our first board meeting together in January, and it was just really wonderful to have them, wasn't it, Doug? Yeah. It was really great. So they're a real blessing to have. So just more people to help keep a pulse on things. One of the things I always tell the board of directors, it's really important to me, is that you don't just come to church on Sunday, because I want the board to have a finger on the pulse of the church. Like, you need to build relationships with the people. So that's important. So just some statistics. We had 33 members. We started our membership program last year, and we have 33 people who joined the church. Yay! And when you look at statistics of churches, and I don't keep up on this, but people tell me, like, if you look at it, and you look at leadership and people who are members of the church, because you can only can serve in the church if you're a member, right? Because if you're going to serve, we want to make sure that, you know, you're in line with what we see as the vision of the church and everything. But 82% of our members serve. That's huge, because most churches, it's like 10%. Like, 82% of our church members serve this church in some capacity, which is just awesome. We had 13 people get water baptized. Look at Miss Giselle in there in the middle, and there's Melody, and there's Emily. And most of them had been water baptized before. It's just that they wanted to baptize again because they just had a deeper understanding of what that meant. But it was really beautiful the way that the Lord had us do it. It was a lot of work for Amy, but we took pictures of everybody. We gave them a baptism certificate. But when they came up out of the water, we had the church members that were there who felt impressed by the Lord to give a word for them. And so we recorded all the words that were given, and then Amy typed that up. So everybody that was water baptized got a picture, a certificate, and the words that the Lord spoke to them as they came up out of the water. So it was really beautiful. We had so much fun. I had to have my back adjusted, though, after that. I'm like, why am I walking around like this? It's like, I'm lifting everything out of the water. So, anyway. Okay, so now we're going to look at some of the financials, and we're in a great situation. So I'm not begging for money. So this is just, I wanted you to look at all the different sources of income for our church. This is money that you guys give, so this is important for you to see. So 71% of the income of the church was through tithes and offerings. I put other in there. Other is like interest income from different things and stuff, so it's very minimal. So 71% of what came into the church came in for tithes of offerings. Another thing about this church is 82% of between the leadership, the members, and the people who regularly attend this church, 82% give. That is a real sign of a healthy church. When you have that many people serving and that many people giving, it means not just a few people are carrying the burden of the church. Everybody's invested in it. And so that's really awesome. So that was 71%. Public support is 6%. I want you to know that 6% of our income came from people who do not attend this church but believe in this church. that says, that means a lot to me. There are people who, for whatever reason, can't come, don't come, they moved away, and but they really believe in what God's doing here, and so they continue to sow into this church, even though they don't attend. So that's 6% of our income came from there. 8% of our income came from non-cash donations. So that what that is that the Freedom and Hope Center donated the van and the church to and the truck to the church. Okay. Also, Caris Bible College donated some sound equipment when they kind of scaled things down. They donated some sound equipment to us. So we have to show those as income because they were a blessing to us, but they go to fixed assets, obviously. So 8% of what came in of our total income was non-cash. 5% of the money that came in was earmarked for guest speakers because we had guest speakers here, and so that money we gave out more than 5%, but it was money that came in was earmarked for guest speakers. 7% was benevolence and outreach. So like when we raised money to bless somebody in the church, that's part of it. But also when we closed the Freedom and Hope Center, there was a small bank account left. And so we brought that into the church and we made a separate account for outreach. And so that's part of that money as well. And then 3% of the money that came in was earmarked for the building fund. Okay, and so that makes up the whole pie of what where the money sources came in. Any questions on that? Okay, so then we'll just look at our expenses. First of all, you need to know is there's in 2019 up through 2019 there was no salaries. Okay, the board has talked, and we're probably going to start giving a small salary to some of us who, like, you know, me preaching or whatever, but up until now, nobody has taken any income. Amy doesn't get paid. Nobody has taken any income from the church. So none of this is salary expenses. The other thing I want you to know is that the leadership does not see giving, okay? I used to because I used to do the books, but now I've transferred that over to Amy. So we, as a board of directors, have no idea who gives what and whether or not they give because we don't ever, even though I don't believe that it would ever influence us because I wouldn't allow that, we don't ever want it to appear like that's happening. So you need to know that when, like, we have no idea who gives what, that Amy knows that. Okay, she and obviously people who do the offerings in the back, but not even that's not everything because some people give online, right? So Amy's the one who knows all that, and she keeps that. She's like, Mom, I'm doing books. She'll close it up. We don't have any debt. I don't like debt. She and Amy's learned this about me. She'll, Mom, there's this bill coming up. I'm like, God will provide. Well, we can take. Nope, we're not taking money out of savings. God will provide. And I'm just like, and she's like, but what? I'm like, God's going to provide. And sure enough, he'll come through and we won't have to take money out of savings. Once that money crosses from checking to savings, I'm like, no, you cannot move it. So rent is 16% of our expense. That's renting here for regular Sunday services and our meetings afterwards. 11% is general administrative expenses. Let me just, here, I've got a list of what that is. So that is just insurance, telephones. Randy, Jeremy, and I have telephones that are paid for by the church. Advertising and promotion, like professional fees, like paying for our computer equipment, software, our email service, our Spreaker, where we keep our messages recorded, office supplies, bank service charges, like automobile expenses, like insurance on the automobile, repairs, and anything the pastor uses for discretionary fund. So those are part of administrative expenses. The church ministry expenses is 10%. So that includes like praise and worship, money we spend in praise and worship, children's ministry, small group study materials, women's ministry, men's ministry, anything we do to sow into leadership and volunteers. That's part of church ministry expenses. The guest speakers was 14% because that includes not only the offering that we gave to the guest speakers, but the extra rent for renting here, paying for their hotel room, paying for their meals, paying for their airfare, those types of things. So 14% of our income went to guest speakers. Missions is different organizations we support. For example, we support Sonship International monthly. That's Eric Gilmore's ministry. The Face of Jesus, Caris Bible College. We support them monthly. We used to support the Freedom and Hope Center with a small amount, but we don't do that anymore. And then benevolence is things where, like I said, where we helped out people within the church. That's benevolence. Fixed assets, that's what I talked about already. That's our income. 8% was from trucks and stuff. But the net income, so 31% of the money that came to this church was put away into savings. Okay, isn't that awesome? So because we want to keep our expenses down, and we just want to keep putting money away and putting money away, because at some point the Lord's going to reveal our building to us, and we want to be in a position to be able to purchase it or rent it or renovate it, whatever. So that's that. Any questions on any of that? We have no debt. I mean, even credit card. We do not carry a balance on a credit card. I'm not going to pay anybody any finance fees. So any questions on that? I thought that was great. 31% of it was saved, was put away. So we're doing good. We're doing really good. Okay. So 2020, the year the Lord spoke to Randy and I again, is the year of the prophetic. And it's every one of us coming to a place where we hear God's voice better, deepening our intimacy with Him, building trusting relationships with each other, and stepping out to engage others outside the church. That's what the focus is for this year. The Lord really has given that to us. So isn't that awesome? Awesome. So it's all about knowing Him more. It's all about knowing Him more, right? And being able to hear His voice. So that's where we're going. The guest speakers we're bringing in this year, we have Arthur Menchez coming March 29th. We have Brian and Sue Nutman coming May 3rd. They operate strongly in the prophetic. We have Brian Guerin coming June 19th and 20th. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. The prophet. And then we have Ashley and Carla. We've asked them to come in the August-September timeframe. We haven't heard back from them yet. So, but if you see, like, Brian and Sue Nutman are prophetic. Brian Guerin is a prophet. So you even see, like, who God is having us connect with is people who are strongly prophetic, right? So so that's who our guest speakers are as of right now. And God can always change that. Our Kingdom Life Group, so that what we're going through right now is basic training for the prophetic ministry. That's the book we're going through now. We're going to, the men's and women's group, as they finish up the books that they're doing now, we're going to move into another book that's like hearing the prophetic voice of God. So it's going to, again, teaching us how to deepen our relationship with the Lord and hear from Him. So we're going to start having the men and women doing the same book. We just think that will be really helpful that we're all on the same page when we're doing books. We have the Kingdom Parents Group. Like I said, that started last week, yesterday, and it was awesome going on. And then this summer, after we're done with the prophetic class, we'll probably start this as a tradition, but we're going to take the summer and just study a book in the Bible together, verse by verse. Like maybe like Galatians or something, like amidst a mini Romans. So just get together, and instead of doing a book, let's just do the book, right? And sit down and just go verse by verse. And forever long that takes, and then the Lord will tell us where to go next. So we're going to start doing that as a regular part of, we'll do books and then like actual Bible and maybe then another book. So just let the Lord lead us. So we're going to do that. I love doing verse by verse. It's fun. It's really fun, especially if everybody comes prepared. Like, because again, it's everybody sharing. Like, what's the Lord say to you about Galatians 3:2? You know what I'm saying? It's like this is letting the Holy Spirit teach. So just some other things. I really, you know, I'm expecting one of the things Eric Gilmore said to us was, you know, did everybody here get dreams and visions? And people are like, well, no. And he's like, well, I released that here. So we really, like, part of this whole thing of prophetic is that dreams and visions, but also how do we interpret dreams and visions, right? Because a lot of people come to me and say, I've had this dream, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, we can work together to try to figure it out. But I believe the Lord wants us to understand how He speaks through dreams and visions and how to interpret that. So that's part of what we want to see this year. Miss Beth, one of the things that really came out of our leadership retreat is she's very gifted, if women know this, she's very gifted in prophetic art. And so one of the things really kind of trying to pull her out a little bit from children's church is to have her start doing prophetic art during worship and during certain teachings, but then to encourage all of you Like if you feel like an inkling in that way, to start having people be up front and doing prophetic art during the service. So that's going to be another thing that we're going to be doing this year. And she's really good at that. She's real blessed at that. That's her gifting. So a couple of other things. Our first fellowship meal is March 22nd, and since we have three families in the church that are pregnant, we are going to have the March 22nd fellowship meal is going to be a baby shower for all three families. So we're excited for that, and we're getting their lists together of what they need so that we can all bring stuff in for them. So that's going to be fun, because that's what families do, right? We bring people in. So also within the next couple of months, I'm putting together a prayer team. I want to see at the end of the church service having people up here who can pray so people can come forward for prayer. So that's another thing that I'm working on. And then many people have come to me and said, you need to start videotaping the services. So I've asked Randy to work with Peggy on that and find some way of videotaping so we can maybe start posting stuff on YouTube. I don't want to live stream at this point because you need to be in church. You need to be in church, not live streaming on Facebook, sorry. So we'll do that. So we're going to look into that, but actually videotaping our services. Anyway, so we have the men's retreat scheduled in Christmount out in Black Mountain. They've got a lodge for themselves. It's going to be the same place it was last year. So sign up. It's awesome. And I've asked them to do the same kind of pattern that, you know, we've done in the women's meeting. So the men are going to be much more engaged and be a part of it. So I'm excited about that. And then the women's retreat, woohoo, is going to be in Black Mountain. We've rented a whole lodge again, and so we'll go out there and just have a great time of fellowship together. Grow in the Lord, learn from each other, and just build relationships, because that's what it's all about. And then we really have a heart for outreach, you know, really getting outside the four walls of the church. And so this is one of Randy's things that he's going to be heading up is, how many of you know who Tom Rotolo is? Okay, a few of you do. Okay, so Tom Rotolo used to be with Randy Clark. This might be a mishmash of names to you, but Randy Clark, and he was really about, you know, going out and street evangelism and laying hands on the sick and all that stuff. He moved down with Todd White in Texas for a while. Well, now he's come apart, and he started his own ministry called City Quake. And we get his emails, and we connected with him, and he was looking for someone to be a moderator for their Facebook page in Raleigh-Durham, so we volunteered for that, so we're the moderator. And his vision that the Lord has given him is that, there used to be these conferences, conferences called Power and Love. Our church a couple of years ago went to Winston-Salem. And you come together and these preachers, you know, great preachers ministering the word, ministering identity to you and everything. And then during your lunch breaks and everything, you go out on the streets of the city and you pray for people. And you see healings, you see salvation, you see baptisms of the Holy Spirit. It's really powerful. So that's what the Power and Love will do. Well, Tom Rotolo is kind of the one who put that together. So he's now got his own ministry called City Quake. And what he does is he works with you need to get like about 10 churches, like 5 to 10 churches who want to sponsor him coming in. And so that's what Randy's going to be doing, is getting churches interested. And then it would be getting churches again. And then like months before they're going to do the big event, they're sowing into the churches and getting everybody prepared for it. And then you have the big event, but then they continue to mentor you afterwards, because what tends to happen is you have this big explosion and then everybody just goes back to their normal life. Right? And so they will continue to partner with you for the months afterwards to try to keep that momentum going in the different churches that have partnered with you. So Randy's going to be working on that to get us outside the four walls and comfortable with that. You know, we could try to put together an outreach program ourselves, but to me, it's like I've learned, why reinvent the wheel when you've got somebody who's really expert in that area and you can partner with them? So we're going to be doing that this year. Any questions on any of that? Pardon me? Yeah, Yeah, so that's we're going to be working towards. I'm just working towards an event. I don't know if it'll be this year or in the beginning of next year, but we're working towards that. So, any questions on anything that I've shared so far? I'm almost done. So it still comes back to encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. Right? Those are all the things, but all of those things are to build us up, to bring us to a deeper understanding of the Word, a deeper understanding of Him, a deeper intimacy with Him, and building relationships with each other so that we can live empowered lives. And like I said, it's so important to, like, Randy and I and Pastor Jeremy and Beth, it's just for you all to know how important and significant you all are in the body of Christ. Right? You have a role to play. You have a calling. You're not random. Like, God didn't, like, when you came into the kingdom, He was like, oh, wow, I didn't plan for that one. You know what I'm saying? Just don't know why I'll have to plug you in somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the way God works. Like, He had a plan for you before the foundation of the world. And we may have all gone off, you know, in different directions. But when we come back to Him, let me tell you, He's a redeemer of time. And He can get you back right on track where He has you wanting to go, right? And so it's just a matter of pursuing Him. I mean, we're an example of redeeming time. Because, like, we got born again in 2005. And look what God has done, right? Because we wandered for a long time. So I'm just saying, so He redeems the time, and it's just important for you to know that you're significant, you have a place in the body of Christ. Our job as leaders is to serve you and to raise you up and show you, you know, what it is that you are called to, what He wants you to do, and then empower you to do that. Teach you the Word. Teach you how to study the Word. Teach you how to grow in the Word. Teach you how to have a relationship with Him, and then teach you to be bold and go out and proclaim it, right? And just live your life. So that's what we see our role as in raising all of you up. So you're all important. You're all significant. I just wanted to go back to this too. You know, Amy, the Lord gave this scripture to Amy for our church. It says, you have given miraculous signs to those who love you. As we follow you, we fly the flag of truth, and all who love the truth will rally to it. And that's the call of our church, is to fly the flag of truth, to expect the miraculous, and all who are called to that will come, right? We just live that. We just live that, and those who are called to be a part of that will come. Amen. Any questions on anything I've covered? I know this isn't your typical church service, but it's just important for us to kind of just know where we're going. Amen? So I do want to have communion before we close. just because we're coming together as a body for this vision and this mission. So our communion people are going to get the elements, and we pass the plates now, so you can just sit and rest. I know it's a different church service, huh? But I hopefully you feel built up and you feel good about what this church is about, and if you're a part of it in whatever way. Who's interested in prophetic art?